Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to Powerfully You on Blog Talk Radio. This is your co-host, Dave McDowell, with my wife, Linda. Let me give you a number to call, 646-787-1589. Let me give that to you again, 646-787-1589, if you want to join us. Our topic this evening is forgiveness. And I'll kind of introduce this, Linda, since it was more kind of my idea on this one.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and I've been thinking this week about forgiveness and just how beneficial it is if you can learn to forgive. And that the more you practice it, the easier it gets, and the more you realize that it is a choice. It's not always easy, and I'm not trying to make it sound easy. But I can tell you from my personal experience, the more I practice it, the easier it gets. And then there's some little techniques that have worked for me that help me get to a state of being forgiving. And so we just kind of wanted to share our experience with forgiveness and sometimes what a struggle it has been for both of us. We both have our own experiences because Linda and I didn't know each other 5 years ago.
That's true.
Yeah. We're coming up almost on our third year anniversary.
Wow.
Do you want to start with an experience, or would you like me to start with something, Linda? You got something in mind that you want to share?
Well, just how, you know, from my experience and what I've learned. You know, the program is just not about us. It's really about you also. So I invite you, if you have an experience you would like to share that you came through, to please give us a call. And Dave has already said that number, so I won't, you know, really go through it again. But basically what I've learned, I'll go through that, about forgiveness is that though it is a relationship builder, when you forgive someone, you free them from that burden of guilt and all of that. But also for forgiveness, you free yourself because you can spend so much time in, you know, anger and bitterness, which can lead to depression and all of this. And a lot of times, and I've said this on this program before, you have really put your own self into a trap when you don't forgive others. In Ephesians 4:31-32, you know, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave us. I just feel like forgiveness frees you. I will share the story of me and my dad. You know, unfortunately, I didn't grow up in one of those leave it to Beaver kind of family. I won't go into a lot, but it is a long story. But for a long time, I was very angry with my dad for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I kind of mellowed in that anger for a lot of, not even like months, it was years and stuff until...
You used the word mellow. That's not really what you meant, was it?
You kind of just lay there and,
okay.
You know, I lived with it and was happy with it, really,
okay.
When you say, you know. And I feel like, really, I wasted a lot of life when I look back on that. It was some of that suffering. Sometimes when you're in this place where you can't forgive, sometimes you get in a place that it's a payoff for you. You know, again, I do believe that. So, you know, it was all those years. And finally, he had called me and told me that he was really sick. And he was. He was terminally ill. He did live like 3 years past that phone call. But we both, during that phone call, had to forgive each other for a lot of things and confessed a lot of things to each other, talked openly about it. And I am so grateful for the 3 years that I had left with him. But it could have been a lot more years that I enjoyed with him because he had forgiven, was feeling remorseful for everything, you know, years earlier.
But you probably weren't in a place where you could hear.
I really wasn't. And not only was it making me an angry and bitter person, not just toward him, but, you know, if you harbor that anger and resentment for so long, you strike out at other people, hurt people, hurt people. And until you can clear yourself from that and find the ways to do that, you just engulf yourself in such a prison, pretty much, where you're not the most effective and, as we say, the most powerful being you can be, because you've just locked yourself in this prison. That's one of the briefs.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of ask you a couple of questions on that. So how did you, because you felt justified in your unforgiveness. You felt like, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. So you said.
Yeah, I mean, at the time.
Like, kind of, he deserved it, right?
I felt justified. But really, are you really justified? Would God have forgiven when Jesus forgave us?
Well, that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah, at the time, I felt justified in it. And he had done some things. In all reality, I had done some things, too. And then there's that part of personal responsibility. There was that part when really, if I took my own care of my own self and took the personal responsibility, some part, a portion of that was me not standing up for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes you have to take your own personal responsibility.
And we're going to talk about that later, about boundaries.
Yeah.
And in relation to forgiveness.
Yeah.
So how did, I mean, I think from what you've told me about this situation, it was simply that he called in that story the process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I know from my experience, the hardest forgiveness is, or the one that's most difficult, is when you feel absolutely justified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you feel like, well, this guy, you know, or this person or whatever, I can't believe they did this and that, you know. But there's a way to deal with that. And that's kind of one of the techniques I wanted. In fact, I started entitled the show, You Can't Hurt My Feelings, because that's kind of, this is how it worked for me. And now I experienced forgiveness and the freedom from bitterness and staying mad and stereotyping and all kinds of stuff. And I'll go there in a little while. But a few years ago, and this was just a few years ago, I said something to a friend of mine when I lived in Selma, and I said to him, oh, don't worry about it. You know, there's nothing, you can't hurt my feelings. And the Lord, immediately, I felt the Spirit of God say, Dave, that's exactly what the attitude I want. And the more I thought about it, I realized that what the Lord was saying to me is, you're in charge of how you respond, and that, you know, we can choose to love people through anything. It is a choice. They don't get to make that choice. You get to make that choice. And when you can get there and realize that you can choose to love and forgive somebody the most heinous act, then you become in control of your response instead of letting someone else or culture or whatever dictate how you're supposed to feel when something bad is, quote, done to you. And it has really set me free. It set me free at work, so that, you know, if somebody is being unfair to me and saying something that's new, I can kind of let it just roll off and choose to be what I want to be regardless. I don't have to get all upset. I don't have to get all emotional. Now, don't misunderstand, I still struggle as I'm a human being, but it can really set you free when you can reach that place where you say, you know what, you can't hurt my feelings. I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. And not being ugly or flippant, but it's a choice. Now, the more often you make the choice, the easier it gets. You begin to practice it and feel it and understand it. And enjoy, frankly, the freedom of not being controlled by how you're supposed to feel or how somebody wants you to feel or whatever. My biggest issue now is when it's being done to somebody else. And then I still have to remember, that's not mine. I'm not there to protect everybody. Sometimes, yeah, But a lot of times I've got to let people protect themselves. But that's kind of one of my techniques that the Lord just laid in my lap one day and said, here's the attitude, here's the saying that will help you, Dave. And I've enjoyed that for about 10 years, and it really has made a difference.
I think when I finally got to the place where I believed that I was more trapped than the other person, because when you think about it, most of the time the other people have gone on, they're living their lives, and you kind of are stuck in a place. There's this saying, I think Wayne Dyer said, learn to let go and be like water.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to me, water is fluid. You know, it goes in and out. So some of those emotions that we hold on to, we have to learn how to be fluid like water. And you acknowledge that you feel this way. You know, I'm angry at so-and-so. So you acknowledge that. But then you know, sometimes you just have to take a deep breath and let that go and remember that you can't hold on to that, because you know, holding on to bitterness, anger, unforgiveness can lead to internal things that show up physically or manifest themselves physically in heart disease, high blood pressure, sometimes
right.
respiratory problems.
It's unhealthy.
Yeah, it's unhealthy. A lot of abdominal and stomach issues are related to the stress of anger and unforgiveness. So if you can just imagine yourself letting it go, and it may take you a while to let it go. And, you know, sometimes we are unforgiving to people that are no longer here, you know. And you can be angry with somebody that is no longer here. And I suggest doing things like writing a letter to that person. You can't go to them and say, hey, I forgive you. You can't face them face to face. So sometimes writing a letter and pouring all of that emotion, keeping a journal, we've said that before, or just writing a letter if that's all you want to do, putting all of that emotion on that page, and then letting that letter go. It could be ceremonial, like just burn the letter. Be careful. You know, I don't want to tell anybody to burn their house down. Burn the letter, ball it up, tear it up into pieces and throw it away. But when you are yourself letting the situation or situations go at the end of that process, that ritual, sometimes those things are symbolic, but they help us come to a place better.
Yeah. I want to add a couple of things because we don't want to place an unfair burden on
right.
our listeners or ourselves.
Right.
Feelings are okay. Feelings are not, at least in my opinion, are not bad or good. They're just feelings. It's what you do with the feelings that count. So feeling angry because someone has treated you poorly, it's understandable, but if you take that anger and you let it fester and you start trying to find ways to get even and be vindictive, then you've crossed a line into something I call sin. But if I take that anger and say, Lord, I'm really angry, and go to him and get it out and talk with him, it helps. Now, the anger doesn't always go away overnight. I have to work out. And so here's the second thing I want to share, is that my spiritual mentor used to say to me, Dave, act like it's so, even though it isn't so, and it will be so. And this works in a lot of ways, and one of them is forgiveness. Make a choice and say to God, Lord, I want to forgive this person, but my heart doesn't feel like it, but I choose to forgive them, and I'm going to start acting like I have forgiven them. And I cannot tell you how many times I've done that. Not that I've had that many people treat me poorly, but it works. It works for me. So I begin to act like I have forgiven, which means I begin to try to reconcile the relationship if I can. The other thing I would like to add is forgiveness is up to you. You can try to forget. Well, you can forgive, but some people aren't going to accept that. They don't. They're, you know, and there's nothing you can do about their response. You're not responsible for their response. You're only responsible for yours. And forgiveness, a lot of times, there's a reconciliation that needs to happen if it can. It will make both people healthier, like you and your dad is
right.
The perfect example. And you both enjoyed those last 3 years,
yeah,
and that wouldn't have happened if
right.
you hadn't chosen to talk openly and honestly about how you felt and forgive each other.
And in that story, I like that, you know, sometimes it's okay to feel and experience the emotion of, you know, so you acknowledge the feeling, like I said before, but also we have to take responsibility, you know, and that's a big thing for me, that you take responsibility for your actions. And maybe sometimes you didn't do anything, but you take responsibility for your responses. You don't have to act out in anger. That is a choice. You don't have to belittle that person. That is a choice. So you take, if you can't, you know, take, if sometimes you just were not responsible. But sometimes if you look back at a situation, there may be some things that you did, but if you're not responsible in any kind of way, just take responsibility for your reaction mm-hmm. to this situation.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. Should we tell our little story today? It's a great little illustration.
Yeah.
Okay, let me share with you folks. If you are trying to teach or share or help others grow, you get tested.
Oh, yes.
It just, you know, it seldom fails that within the day before, the day of, or a few days later. Frankly, this is the way I put it. God says, okay, you said that. Let's see if you really meant it. And so even today we have a situation, and I'll try not to go into great detail, but I had my plan, Linda had her plan, and our stepdaughter had her plan. And, you know, I'm a schedule guy. I want to know we're going to leave at this time, we're going to meet at this time, we're going to do this. Well, Linda and her daughter are not. But all three of us kind of got a little bit, well, I don't know about Chastity, I just know about you and me.
Yeah.
A little tense, a little kind of like, man, this is not what I signed up for. I thought we were just going down there and coming back. Now it looks like it's going to be all day. And then you're caught in the middle. You know, because your daughter kind of wants to change the schedule, but you don't want to hurt her feelings. And we went through this whole thing, and I'll be honest with you, we had a long hour drive back from a piece of Nashville back to our house, and there wasn't a word said. There was definite ice, for lack of a better word, in our car, and you know, what happened when we got out, Linda went her way, I went my way, we didn't really say a word to each other, and you know what was funny is we both ended up at a mall that's not here from far from here. I ended up at Barnes & Noble, one of my hangouts, and we had already dealt with it, and we had said to ourselves, we had accepted our responsibility. My responsibility was, well, she kind of told me that we're going to work if we left in the morning, but I didn't listen. I said, let's go anyway. Linda's daughter kind of told her it's not going to work. This may not be the best weekend. And Linda said, oh, well, let's go anyway. And so those were, we didn't really listen to each other, number one. Number two, you know, anyway, to make a long story short, we had to practice this. Hey, you know what? It's okay. I forgive you. I'm not even saying you did anything, but I'm getting my heart right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to stay upset and angry about this. And you did the same thing. In fact, the first thing you did when you came back and met me was, I'm not mad at you. And I understood that. And I think I said, well, you know, something along the same lines. And then we started realizing that we had a part in both all of this.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that's a good illustration of how it works. And then we reconciled through our talk, and we were fine. And Linda and I are good. I think we're good forgivers. Plus, we just really don't enjoy not being in sync. We feel it.
Yeah, we feel it. And the other thing is that, you know, some of the things that I had to go through, that when you're a mother of an adult child, you still want to mother in a certain way, but you have to learn to let them be an adult child. And the other thing about forgiveness is that you can't control other people.
Right.
You know, we can all have our schedules and everything like that, but the bottom line is, you know, we can't control other people.
Well,
so you can choose to, okay.
Well, I'm going to illustrate that because you were in the middle.
Yeah.
You were trying to keep me happy. You were trying to keep your daughter happy. And me and Chastity weren't on, shouldn't say her name. Yeah. Me and the stepdaughter weren't on the same page. And Linda's in the middle trying to keep peace, you know. Oh, and sometimes you just got to let Dave be what Dave is and your stepdaughter be what
she is. Well, and I feel like I did that because I made the choice to say, you know, I'm not going to get upset with her. I'm not going to get upset with you. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to enjoy my day.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it is. And that's one of the steps I feel like, and we gave you a practical. We are not perfect. Real stuff happens with us, and we're real honest to say that real stuff happens. But the thing is that you have to move on. And that's a choice. You can make the choice. It really takes power from the other person. You may feel powerless for this other person, but the moment you make a choice to move on, you've got your power back.
I call it freedom.
Yeah.
I'm now free. I don't have to stay there. I don't have to feel guilty. I've just made up my mind. You know what? I don't care what you've done to me. It doesn't really matter. I choose to forgive you, and I'm going to act like it, and I'm going to ask God to help me feel forgiveness, but even if I don't feel it, I'm still going to walk in it, and eventually the feeling will come.
Right, and that's all true, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of our hurts are in the past. These things happen in the past, and so, you know, sometimes we have to take a moment to say, why am I letting the past muddy the waters of my mind and all of that, have all this dirt and all of that stuff in my mind at this moment? Because, you know, some people, and then I was one of them, you're holding on things that happened 20 or 30 years ago. Really? I mean, think about that, how you are letting that at this moment muddy your present because of something that happened 20 or 30 years ago. You have the power to say, no longer. I'm done with that.
Let me ask you a question. You're a counselor.
Right.
So, you know, do you sometimes see people who don't even realize that they're holding on to forgiveness? Does that happen?
I feel like sometimes you don't, because really sometimes people don't realize it. I think in their inner being, in their innermost self, they do know it.
Okay.
You know that you've been stuck in this place for 20 years.
Okay.
You know, you may not want to acknowledge it because that's pretty hurtful to acknowledge that you've allowed yourself to be stuck in this place for 20 years.
Okay.
But people know, you know.
Well,
you
the reason
may not.
I asked that question is because you have helped me.
Right.
And you remember a discussion we had, and I won't name names, where you really, you know, what came to was, and this is, boy, I'm real glad this came up because this is something for everybody. And there was a situation where I had not forgiven myself. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for letting something happen to me that I could have said no. And then and pretending to be mad at the other person and being mad at the other person. But when I really went back and go, you know, I'm mad at me for being naive and stupid, you know, or whatever. And I had to reach that point and go, well, you know what, Dave, this conversation with myself, that's where you were 20 years ago. You were dealing with that with the tools you had 20 years ago. Let it go. Forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure we bring that up.
And it's important to forgive yourself. Sometimes you've done something to someone. Sometimes you've done some things to yourself that really doesn't affect other people, but in a way it does because your emotions and all of that you're carrying on affect. But sometimes the first person we have to forgive in situations is ourselves. You know, God has forgiven you for if you've gone to Him. And that is a step, to go to the Lord and acknowledge, hey, Lord, I did so and so and so. I feel bad about that. Please forgive me and allow me the process to step in forgiveness, and I forgive myself. So one of the first people that you may have to forgive in this whole process of forgiveness is yourself. I mean, and that is powerful. And look at the number of years. I think sometimes people are amazed at the number of years, because I do bring up a lot of times how many years you walked in this. And I will say that sometimes people are shocked how many years, because you've kind of forgotten. You've been in this place.
But it's still a factor.
But it's still a factor, and a lot of times it has been 20 years. I'll share, I'm going to be honest and open. If he was here, I feel like with my ex-husband, I had to forgive him for some things. And in all reality, I had to think and take the responsibility. It was one day I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and she also was going through a divorce. And I remember us both coming to this place at the same time. I had spent so many years blaming him for everything. But then I had to confess, and I was confessing it to her that, those last, 6 years, I just was not there.
Right.
So he, really was coming
home to.
And
that's your part.
And that was my part. I had just pulled out. I was not there emotionally, physically, or anything. I just was not there. And that was a real breakthrough moment for me, or I ran away from situations. I had to acknowledge my part in that.
Yeah.
And the moment that I acknowledged my part, it was so much easier to forgive him.
Forgive him?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, I do want to add this, too, because, again, this is me. Most time you'll hear this. Linda, I'm the guy who I'm always wanting to make sure we don't put our listeners in a place that is harder than it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm so sensitive to that is because I've done it to myself. So in forgiving yourself and going to God and saying, I'm sorry, just remember, that's it. You don't have to do more. You don't have to pay penance. You don't have to feel horrible for a week or a day or 10 minutes. It's done. Now, there is efforts. There is things to do that will make your relationship right. If I've treated somebody poorly and there's something I can do to make that right, and let's make it real simple. Let's say, because this is just simple. I stole $50 from somebody. I can say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But I really do need to go back and give that guy and ask for his forgiveness and give him at least $50 and say, I'm sorry. But he may not accept it. Now, that's his problem. But I've done my part. So there is a reconciliation. And, it's right out of, if anybody's in the Alcoholics Anonymous, they will talk about this, of making things right. That's for your health.
Yeah.
That's for you to feel like you've done what you can do. But I don't want people wallowing in guilt and beating themselves to a bloody pulp. Once you've asked for forgiveness from God, it is yours. You can go make it right, but you are forgiven.
That is the biggest thing, I think, and take the time to understand yourself as you're walking through this process of unforgiveness or forgiveness. Take the time to find, look at the whole situation as an observer,
mm-hmm.
not really as one of the participants in the situation, but as someone looking at the situation. Take the time to see yourself looking at that. A lot of times when you can see other people through that, then you can kind of...
Well, how do you do that? How do you step back and look at it objectively when you're part of it? How do you do that, Linda?
I have to have quiet time. So in my quiet time, and you can pray this prayer. Trust me, I've done it before. Pray the prayer, Father God, show me how this situation unfolded, show me my part in the situation, and show me how I can resolve that.
Very good.
And then you wait. God will show it to you. It may not be at that moment, but
okay.
it will unfold. And I feel like God revealed to me that day my part in the situation. So, first, before you're mad at that person or whatever, always, what was Did you have a part to play? Maybe you didn't. I'm not always saying we had a part to play. There are some situations.
Sometimes you've just been wrong.
And you've just been wrong, and you didn't have a part to play in it. And in that situation, I'm just telling you to allow, tell the Holy Spirit, Father God, help me to get my power back. Help me to come back to the place you'd have me be, to be a very high-functioning individual instead of a lame person. Because really, in this forgiveness, you made yourself lame. Give me my mental and physical health back. So sometimes for you to take that step of power, you can look at weight, experience the emotions. So you're angry, you're hurt, and bitter. If you've been experiencing those emotions for a number of years, it's time to move on from that. But acknowledge, I've been feeling hurtful, angry, da-da-da. Acknowledge all those feelings, even if you have to write them down so that you can pour them out of your spirit. Allow that. And then to say, you know, today I choose to walk out of this. And you said, your mentor said, you know, act like it's so. But the scripture says, call those things that be not as though they are. It is the same thing. So, okay, now you may not feel like you're forgiving, but you walk in it. Mm-hmm. You kind of take the emotions out of it, and you just do the next right thing.
Yep.
The next right thing is to, you know, I've forgiven this person, whoever they are, whether you can tell them that or not, you walk in forgiveness. So how do you walk in your forgiveness? You don't, you know, sometimes we want to tell the story over and over. You give up the story.
Yeah.
Because tell the story over and over, you're getting the payoff. People feel sorry for you.
Oh, good.
You get a lot of attention, and so you have to give up the story.
And you get to make the other person look bad one more
you
time.
You get to make it how wrong they were. Yeah. So you have to be willing.
Give
so that's your
story.
First story. First step, you have to give up the story.
Yeah.
Then you have to get the give up the attention that you got for wronging the other person. That's another place that you can walk in that forgiveness. And lastly, you just have to walk and move forward in your life. You know, not holding that. When you see that person,
not let it hold you back.
And not let you have, if you happen to see that person, maybe you can't actually speak to them, wave at them, acknowledge them, and keep going. But you have to walk in the act of forgiveness.
It can actually, now I will say this, I have had times when it was just fun because you know, let's just take a hypothetical work situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where I know this person has done something to me. They know they've done something
mm-hmm.
to me. And I choose, and I say, Lord, I forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I forgive. And I come in the next day and say, can I get you a cup of coffee? And they look at me like, what's he up to? You know, and I don't do it for that reason. And before long, they will relax. They will be better, and everybody around will be more relaxed. And it actually becomes almost a fun thing for me to see that happen and help make that happen. And it can be quite, you know, because they're looking up.
Yeah.
Why aren't you mad at me? You know?
Yeah.
And I want to say, because I've chosen to forgive you, and I'm going to love you whether you like it or not.
And I do feel like you can do kind acts, but to me, it's better to go to that person. And because the Bible is saying, go to one another. Go, if you have a grievance with somebody, go to that person.
That.
Yeah. Is it? It is. I guess so. Well, go to that
especially
person.
Especially when you're the guy and the other guy.
Yeah.
You just want to punch them in the mouth.
Yeah. But it is better to go to them and say, hey, you're acknowledging. We had that incident yesterday. Whatever it was, I just want you to know that it happened, but I'm moving on. I hope you are too. First, it lets the person know that they, one, you did see the act, and you're not going to dance around another act. It lets them know that you will confront them. So that kind of cuts off any future acts because they know that you will call them on it. And not that you're doing that, but it's best to acknowledge the
mm-hmm.
wrong that has been done, because sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that the wrong has happened. You have to acknowledge that the wrong happened in order to move on. Now, how you respond during that interaction, that's when you're cool, calm, and collected, and
right.
you're not, you know, cussing and fussing, and you can just say, hey, I saw this happen. I was not too happy about it, but I choose to move on. I hope you do too, so that we can work together in the future.
Right.
Well, you know, it. You call them on it. They know that you will call them on it, so they probably won't do anything in the future. And sometimes they will, but you have to call them on it each time to show them this is you're not going to treat me this way.
And so that's a perfect segue into you. And this is really your thing better. You explain this better than I did, I think, and that is boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want people to think that for, you know, there's meek.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us meek and what meek is, and people misunderstand it. The culture misunderstands meek for weak.
Right.
Those are not the same things. I can be meek and humble and loving, and I can still say, that's not okay.
Yes.
You have crossed the boundary, and I want you to know you've crossed the boundary, and I'm not going to just let you do this to me because I count too.
Right.
So can you talk
about that? Well, and a lot of times, you know, you do have to have, I call them healthy boundaries for people. You know, we live in a society where people are manipulative. They are, you know, passive aggressive and those kind of things. And the way that you deal with those kind of people, or people, period, because we are in that kind of society, is that you call it out. Call those things out. You have to call it out. It is really a spirit. There is a spirit of manipulation. There is a spirit with passive aggressiveness. You have to call the spirit out. So, you don't have to embarrass them or anything like that. A healthy boundary is, yes, I thought, you know, you did whatever. You're acknowledging that it happened. You're telling them that you know what they did. I just choose to move on from this. I hope you will too. Or you can simply say, you know, I forgive you for that, but this did happen. Let them know how I was angry. It hurt me. It happened, but I've moved on. I hope you will too. So you've acknowledged it and you have.
And you've let them know that if they cross that boundary again, you're not afraid to go to them and say, it's not okay.
Yeah, and then there are some people, healthy boundaries, if somebody keeps repeating to do the same thing, a healthy boundary is to take yourself out of that situation.
Walk away.
And let them know, because sometimes it could be a family member that has done certain things.
Right.
You let them know, this is what you did, this is how I felt. You know, the first time I do forgive you for it, but I can't be in an environment where you can keep on repeating I'm not going to be the punching bag.
And let me give you a flip side of that from a very, very personal experience, and that's with my son, and I won't reveal the circumstances, but there was a period of time where I had to withdraw myself from him because it wasn't okay what he was saying and doing and acting toward me. But I was more than willing to forgive all that. But I knew if I stayed there, he was going to regret those things and that he would suffer the guilt and the regret of saying things that one day he would have to, he knew that, and has taken back. And I didn't want that for him. So it was better for me to step away and be away from him for a little while. Now, God reconciled that relationship beautifully. But sometimes you're doing the other person sort of a favor by withdrawing yourself and not allowing them to do what they're probably going to regret sometime in the future.
And that is so true. It is. And the other thing is that, you know, we're all in this life at different points of growth. 10 years ago, you may have been in the same place as the other person is right now.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to recognize that we're all, you know, we're all in periods of growth. We all have periods where our eyes is open and God takes the veil out and we come to ourselves and realize whatever we've been. And then you can, that's one reason to hold the door open for forgiveness. But you don't have to allow, and I say that to people, you know, I've said it to family members, I'm not going to allow myself to be your punching bag. You have to take that responsibility. When people are striking out, you realize that they're a hurt person, but you don't have to be there to take every blow that they that they deliver.
Don't forget
that
you count.
Yeah.
God loves you. He doesn't want to see you be a punching bag.
And sometimes you have to, and I say, I'm giving you over to God. I've said that to my brothers on numerous times. Not that they did anything wrong, but, you know, both of them would be okay with me sharing. They both had drug problems in the past, and I had done as much as I could do. And I would say to them, you know, if I continue to be in the situation with them, I was going to keep on getting hurt. I was going to continue to have things taken away from me and all of those things. So I had to set that boundary of I'm no longer enabling you. I'm sorry. I will be praying for you. I have given you over to God, but I can't be with you during that process.
And what has been the result of that?
Well, both of them are clean now, have been clean. I mean, not just, they've been clean, both of them, for a number of years, which is a good thing.
And haven't they developed a personal relationship?
They have both developed a personal relationship with God. We all, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I came from a very dysfunctional family. But the one thing I will say that when you come from a dysfunctional family, you don't, you do develop coping skills after so long, and you know that you have to have healthy boundaries because you won't be able to survive if you don't have those healthy boundaries. And I'm being very open and sharing some things. And like I said, I didn't come from Leave It to Beaver land.
Right. Yeah. Well, the truth is, we've talked about this before, and one day we'll spend another time, is everybody has a story.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people who look like they grew up and Leave It to Beaver land, usually there's something under the covers.
Yeah.
You know, they've had experience that they may not want to share or whatever. Everybody has a story of good and
that's
bad,
true.
Of hard and easy, of love and hate, of good times and hard times. Everybody. And, you know, and it's not a matter of, oh, I had it harder than you. If you're in the middle of something, it's hard.
It is hard, whoever it is. And sometimes it's just, you know, things happen in family members that you have to forgive. These are people you still may at some point have to interact because they are your family member.
Because you're going to be up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pretty much. One thing I think that Dave and I, we have to work through that, but don't go to bed angry. This is not necessarily only with your spouse, but with anybody, because when you go to bed angry, it festers over
you
the night.
Open. You give an opening to the enemy.
Yes.
To come in and kind of just pour salt on the wound, so to speak, and make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And yeah. I also will say this, examine yourself. You know, when you're dealing with this forgiveness, sometimes, and Linda talked about stepping back and taking a good look at it, ask yourself, is it justified? Is it fair? You know, and I'm going to share one that was mine, where it was another one of those, I wasn't forgiving myself. I was in, and we won't go into great detail, a situation that my heart was breaking, and I kept trying to get to the place where I could just be okay with what was happening. Just be okay and be okay. But it never felt okay. It always hurt, you know. And years later, the Lord came to me and said, Dave, you weren't wrong for the way you felt. That was not a healthy situation. It wasn't the way it should be, and you were not wrong. And I was able to finally forgive myself for not being able to just accept this situation, because I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
It wasn't a healthy situation.
And I think you can sometimes you are justified, but don't let the emotion justify you keeping it.
Yeah, true.
You know,
right.
And there is a difference there. A lot of times you're justified in how somebody's wronged you. Yes, they have wronged you. You can acknowledge. That's why we keep saying acknowledge. But don't let that be an excuse or justification for you to stay in that place for 20 years. So, you know, keep it in the proper perspective.
In this particular case I was talking about, it was me that I did not forgive for a long, long time. Because I felt like my failure until the Lord really came in and said, "Dad, that was not the way it's supposed to be. You weren't wrong to feel the way you felt."
And I totally get that, because a lot of times, there are things that happen in our lives that we don't have control over.
Right.
And things happen, but you can't let whatever happen make you justify that it's okay to be angry and bitter or go into a deep place.
And what I want to say to people is, it's to you. You know, I know, I wish I could, it sounds logical, but I know it's not. It hurts.
It does hurt.
When somebody does you wrong, you know, and whatever, it hurts. You know, when someone you love hurts you, and you know, or, you know, maybe it's whatever. It the feelings are real. But what I want to share with our listeners is, you can get free of those feelings. It will take some work. It will take a choice. It will take some time to pray, meditate, and work through it and act like it. But you can be free of what happens when you stay in a state of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. They will make you sick physically and spiritually and emotionally.
Right.
And I don't want that for anybody. I don't want it for me. I've been there.
Yeah, I have been there too, and I don't want it to. It does. Just know that you have a choice in all this process. And, you know, if you've tried some steps that we've talked about or whatever, and you just don't seem to be getting where you feel like you should be, don't hold yourself hostage with that either.
Right.
Know that this is, you know, it's a process of time. Ask God to help you through this process. But also, there is nothing wrong with seeking professional help.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need a little professional help. And I think as Christians, sometimes we feel like,
we don't
want to, you know, what kind of Christian am I? It's not about that. Sometimes you need someone to walk you along this process so that you're not alone. Get some professional help, be that with your pastor, be that with counselors or coaches, and I'm not, you know, plugging myself because it just doesn't matter, but for you to get what you need.
If you're not seeming to come out of it.
Yeah.
Then get some help.
Get some help and don't be ashamed. God called people to help us through processes. I feel like God called me. I'm sure other therapists would say they feel called to their position or called to their life calling. So if you feel called to that, then God put people in your pathway that can help you through.
Tell, because you are called to this. Tell them what happens when someone comes to you, and how that affects you.
Well, you
know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's why I said I feel called to help people as a coach and a counselor, because, you know, I feel like I am in my calling. I'm in the life role that God has called me to.
Something that happens for you that fills you.
That is it for me. I feel like I'm working in my destiny, in my calling.
These people is, or to our listeners, is don't be ashamed to ask for help. And remember, there are people who want to help you.
They're not resisting.
You're not a bother. That's their calling. And when you come to them, they feel fulfilled in their calling.
Right, because I feel like I'm doing what God called me to do. And a lot of times you can talk. Trust me, I've talked to my mom. I've talked to my dad when we were talking, friends and all that. They can be such.
You helped me a lot.
Yeah, I've also talked to other people. I've gone to people with my problems in my family and my circle. It is nothing. If you can find relief with someone, that is good. But sometimes you need someone that is not connected to the story in any kind of way, you know, and maybe some things are so horrendous you have not been able to share with those people that are close to you, and you need to talk to someone who could be a bystander, who could be objective, right? And sometimes there's a place that God did not mean for you to walk by yourself. Mm-hmm. So this, when I talk to people, when people come to me, one of the prayers I have is that, Lord, take me and let this be you. So when I touch, you touch. When I heal, you heal. It is not me. Use me as your vessel. So when I pray in that prayer, you come to me, and I'm sure I'm not the only counselor therapist who prays like that. You are receiving God's direct energy and love, and he is walking through this process. I'm just a vessel in a shell. Your therapist or whatever is just a, but really he is taking you through that healing process.
Well, that's great. Wow. I feel like I want to go even. I don't think I got a problem with money.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like I said I'm not the only, especially if you go to a Christian or spiritual counselor. I'm sure I'm not the only person that prays that prayer.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard other therapists and counselors and coaches pray that prayer. So
I tell you, I have been to counselors. My favorite counselor is the most gifted man I've ever, I'm walking with the Lord, I'm doing good, but I got one little error, and I would go to him, and man, I just walked out feeling like a burden was lifted, and I'm so much better, and these people, there are people with that gift who can truly, truly help you, and sometimes it's more than one session with him. For me, it's like one session, I'm good, I'm ready to go, but sometimes it takes longer.
And it's okay, time takes you time to heal wounds. When you have a wound that has a scab or whatever, it takes time for that wound to heal totally. And you have to let the deep tissues at the base of the wound heal before you even see the scab. Same thing with you.
Yeah. Are we wrapping up?
I think we are.
I think this was a good program. Made me think.
Maybe
revisit and think about some things. So, again, folks, this is a very, very, because I'm going to kind of do this for at least a little while until we kind of get it ingrained a little bit, that we really are trying to be consistent. We really are trying to have a live show on Sunday at 6 p.m. Central Time in North America. And by the way, we've discovered we have international listeners, which is kind of like, how that?
Yeah.
But we love you, and I'll close in prayer today.
Okay. That sounds good.
Lord, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for Linda's insight and experience and her gift of being able to help people. And Lord, we just pray for those out there that they would begin to experience the benefits of forgiveness, the freedom from bitterness and anger, isolation, all the things that go there, health and spiritual and physical and all those things, Lord. And I pray that those folks that they go to will be open and willing to listen, and relationships can be reconciled and rebuilt. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Well, have a beautiful week.